Emily Noble's Disgrace by Mary Paulson Ellis, read by Tracy Wiles. Who killed Cock Robin?
I, said the sparrow, with my bow and arrow. I killed Cock Robin.
Who saw him die?
I, said the fly, with my little eye. I saw him die. Traditional.
Prologue. The bones fell from the ceiling, as though from the sky. A tibia, a fibula, the notches of a spine, scattering about her feet like spillikins, just waiting for the game to begin. Dust and grit and flakes of ancient paint circled above her, glinting in the air as though she was standing in a universe somewhere amongst the darkness and the never-ending stars. Then the dust began to settle, a thin caul of grey to add to all the rest. It settled on her arms, clinging to her skin. It settled on her clothes, caught in the weave. It settled on her hair, turning it the colour of an old woman's. It settled on the tips of her shoes. The bones were small things, not much longer than the span of her hand, a scattering of something old, something long since dead and buried, risen to the surface now. She stared at the little nubs, the hollow flutes, at the patch of floor turned into a graveyard about her feet. Then she crouched, reached a hand to touch, knew at once that these were the remains of a child. Part 1. Essie Pound. Chapter 1. Portobello, Edinburgh Seaside, 2019. We enter by the backyard, a small space surrounded by a fence rotting from the ground up. Inside, the concrete area is piled with junk. I can see old chair frames, scraps of desiccated carpet underlay, 1,000 bin bags appearing from amongst a thick stand of willow herb. The willow herb is pretty, flowers still blooming, though even I know the season is almost ended now. Daphne goes ahead, disappearing for a moment amongst a craze of thistledown. We follow, a narrow trail hacked out by the police a day or so before. The tall stems have been bent and pushed aside, where the police tramp their way in and tramp their way out. I touch my hand to the nearest blossom, pink juice on my thumb. Who called them? That's what I want to know, when the owner of the property had already waited 2 years for somebody to come. The back porch, when we get to it, is a rickety thing, open to the elements, paint peeling, glass muzzy with cobwebs. Hundreds of seashells have been piled along a narrow shelf. I count the kinds. Snail, razor, limpet. Surface is chalky after so much exposure to the sun and the rain. On the ground beneath, I spy a pair of rubber boots, split and faded. Also a snake of silk spotted with mildew, a strange sort of green. I watch as Daphne slides a key from her pocket, tackles the padlock newly fitted to the back door. When it swings open, I wonder why the police have bothered. The entrance is almost blocked by a huge cliff of rubbish, layer upon layer of one old lady's leftovers, long since abandoned to rot. We play scissors, paper, stone to decide who should go in first. I come last, of course. Monica wraps her hand around my fist, grins in silence. Pavel laughs as he glances from my toes to my hair. I know what he is thinking. I am fat. The entranceway is narrow, not to mention whatever might be lurking beyond. But I don't really mind. Unlike the others for whom this is just a job, I am drawn to the darker side of what we might find. First in, robed up, tiger band beneath the nostrils. Cover your face with your mask and try to breathe through your mouth. That's what I've been taught. It's only 8:45 a.m. But already my skin is sticky as I zip my suit from crotch to chin, pull my hood over damp strands of hair. My heavy limbs chafe against the coveralls' flimsy weave.